Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout podcast, where two bearded film fans watch the best and worst horror movies of all time. My name is Luke Condor of Kate, and joined by my regular co-host, Mr. Big Sheets.
Just having a stretch. What did you say?
Mr. Big Sheets, having a stretch.
Mr. Big Sheets. It's Ben Errington here again.
How's it going?
It's me again.
There he is again.
Yeah, there he is again. Sick of it. I'm good. How are you?
What's too bad. As always, my nose is blocked. But I got this, you know, one of these things. It's like an Olbus inhaler. It's like an Olbus oil thing. You shove up your nose, and it clears your nose. It's really good. I found out when my ears are clogged up, if I just put it in my ear and listen really hard, it clears my ears as well.
Is that legit?
No.
I was like, you put it in your ear, and you can hear see. You can hear the sea, and it unblocks your ear.
Wow. How about you? How's your nostrils and earlobes doing?
My nostrils are fine. I'm not just showing off here by breathing through both nostrils really easily. But that feels pretty good. When you've got a nostril blocked, or like you forget what it's like to not have a nostril blocked, don't you?
Yeah.
You I don't remember.
It's like a different life. And then when your nostrils are unblocked, it's like, whoa, what is this? I've got an extra body. It's like you've got a superpower.
Man.
Suddenly,
I can smell sounds and all that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. How are you?
I'm good. Very good.
So, you got some news?
Yeah. I've got some news. How are you, Luke? Sorry, I didn't respond then.
Some news.
How are you?
To cure the blues. Yeah, I'm good.
We've got a couple of bits of news. Literally, some news started almost feeling like it was unfolding just as we started recording this podcast.
It was like a live news.
Having a look on Twitter and having a look on Google, we've got official confirmation of this, but it's been in the pipeline for a while. I've seen some sort of like fan art and I've seen some other bits. So apparently there's going to be a Resident Evil show possibly heading to Netflix. Looks like it's real. Andy Conduit Turner, friend of the show, and semi-regular co-host on Horror Hangout, showed us a image, which was possibly a poster from it. Done a bit of Googling. Looks like it's from the Haunted Mansion film of Eddie Murphy. So someone's ripped that off and made it into a poster.
And that was terrifying.
That was terrifying, yeah. But like at the moment, I feel like I want this more than anything because Resident Evil's like my favourite thing, favourite game series. And to have this happen when the shitty films have existed would be great. And obviously we don't know if this would be great, but I just want it to exist so that hopefully we can get some stuff based on the storylines of the games. Hopefully, fingers crossed, maybe.
Yeah, I think it'd be good. I think it makes sense. I don't think it would look pretty stupid now if it gets like it's not going to happen. 10 years later, we look back. We listen back to all these episodes and we're like, God, I've always such boobs to get so excited in those 10 seconds.
Idiotic boob I was 5 minutes ago. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, According to a report by Deadline, Resident Evil's headed to television. Article goes on to say the team is looking for an animator, and the series will focus on New World Order caused by the outbreak of the T-Virus. Well, an animator, isn't it? It's going to be animated, is it? Unless they just want someone to animate the opening credits. Made a TV show.
Well, I suppose if you're making a TV show, you don't just want one animator, do you? You want a whole studio. So maybe...
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
Then. Potential Resident Evil TV show. What was the Event Horizon TV show? Do you have a bit of news?
Yeah, so we got some news that Adam Wingard is directing an Event Horizon series for Amazon.
Amazon.
How do you feel about that?
I really like the film. It's been a long time since I've seen it, but I'm a big fan. I remember it really, really creeping me out as a kid. It's kind of like Hellraiser in space. So, I mean, what's not to like about
exactly. it? Exactly. We haven't watched this on the podcast, so perhaps we should watch it on the podcast and talk about it on the podcast. What do you think?
Only if we do it on the podcast.
Yeah. We've got like a free week next week, you know. Makes me sound like I'm trying to ask you out on a date. Oh, you know, we should go out sometime. Actually, I'm free tomorrow.
Hey, I'm up for an Event Horizon. I'm going to event your horizon, whatever that means.
Oh, Jesus. Don't do that. Be careful.
Dangerous,
be gentle.
Dangerous, yeah.
So there's that. And then something I quite enjoyed seeing recently, do the rounds, is... Now, I don't know if this is a spoof or not. I hope it's real. But if it's not, then it's great as a spoof. So there's a spoof trailer... or a trailer for a WWE movie, horror movie about killer tables. Ronda Rousey is the star. It's also got Devon Dudley in it. Obviously, he loves tables.
Yeah.
no Bubba Ray Dudley, apparently. But yeah, it's pretty funny. So tables are like turning up and attacking people, and Ronda Rousey is like shotgunning the life out of them and fighting them. And yeah, I mean, it is kind of ridiculous. A bit like Rubber.
Okay, yeah.
But, you know, it's like an action film. The logo is great. I mean, the E in tables is a table on its side, like covered, like blood dripping from it. But yeah, just go and watch the trailer because it looks, you know, it looks ridiculous. If it doesn't turn out to be real, it will be disappointing. But
there's also a Killer Shed movie coming out, I think. Or there's like Dawn of the Shed. Yeah. I think they're doing, you know what I mean? We've got Shaun of the Dead. There's Juan of the Dead, which doesn't really rhyme.
Juan of the Dead. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we need Dawn of the Shed as well. I kind of feel let's get away from that.
You're like, that's just too far. There's, you know what? I mean, we need Juan, Shaun, I'll have
this
Ben.
This sounds like
Dawn
one
of
my...
the Shed, too far.
It sounds like one of my trivia things, the name game.
Well, exactly. If people are ripping them off, Luke... I'll be writing stern letters to people to say, what the fuck are you playing at?
Yeah. Any other news?
That's it.
Yeah. Stuff in the guff. Have you done a stuff? Have you watched some guff?
Well, I think we've both been watching like the same thing pretty much, haven't we? Not at the same time, unfortunately. That's sad. We've both been watching The Boys. The Boys. Did we mention this last week?
I started watching it and I finished it this week. I think you're on episode 7, halfway through. Oh, no, that's near the end.
I'm near the end, yeah.
So, it's a nice 8-episode.
It feels like a great length. You know, I feel like if it was 10 or 12, I feel like it may start to outstay its welcome. Because sometimes shows like this feel like they kind of, especially when they get towards the end, they kind of like circle the plot of the finale.
Circle the drain.
For ages, circle the drain. And then they go into the finale for the final episode, and like we just want to get there quicker. I think that's the best thing. So 8 episodes feels good.
Just one episode.
I wasn't sure
about an hour and a half episode, and I'm done. Like call it a film, whatever. Just call it a film.
You'd call it a film. Just call it a movie, mate. Come on, stop making TV. No one's watching. I wasn't sure on this initially. It kind of had the vibe, and it looked like, I think, as I mentioned, one of the CW superhero shows like Arrow or Flash.
Yeah,
which I've not really watched any of, but I just don't really like the look of them. They just don't really look like they're going to do it for me. Haven't heard enough good things about them to think, I'm definitely going to watch that. So it felt a bit like that. But then as you kind of get into it and you start to find out more about the characters and you realize, you know, it's not a standard superhero thing at all. It's a very fresh take on the superhero genre, and obviously a great comic book, even though I've only read a little bit, but I heard great things, and you've read quite a lot, right? Am I right?
A couple of volumes. From
what I remember. A couple of volumes.
I think I've just read a couple of issues. So
Yeah,
it's cool. There's a lot of really compelling characters, great plot, great super ridiculous violence, and
it's breezy. You fly through it really quick. You were saying about the Homelander, being a terrific character, like a role model. I don't know about that, but I remember the Homelander feels like what Brightburn should have been. Like he's what we want out of a Superman villain. Like he's genuinely emotionally messed up. Like we're not too sure what he wants.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
He is.
He's got a god complex thing going on, but he's doing it right.
He works well as like a bratty kid. He works better as a bratty kid than like an actual bratty kid.
Yeah.
And it's like silly to say it's realistic, but you know, with superheroes in the world, this is what would happen. Superheroes, there would be marketing for these superheroes. They would be on the payroll of some huge company. They would.
And you would want to keep Homelander like happy. You'd be genuinely terrified, because if he does turn on you, you've messed up. Like he could destroy the planet.
They're very like sinister. Like you watch anything else with superheroes, and you're a bit like, "Oh, bloody superheroes! They do what they want, don't they?" But in this, you're a bit like, "Jesus Christ! I'd hate to live in that world, because you just wouldn't know what was going to happen or where to turn."
Yeah. Well, the entire incident with the way Wee Hughie's—is he called Wee Hughie in this as well? It's called Wee Hughie.
I don't think he is called Wee Hughie. Okay. Maybe Carl Urban's character. Carl Urban's character is like, it's like he doesn't know what accent he's doing, and the characters around him don't know what nationality he's supposed to be. Because someone at some point said, like, "What drink do you want? Do you fancy a Guinness?" And he was like, yeah, that's right. And I was like, do they think he's Irish now? What's going on? Do you fancy a Guinness? Yeah. What do you want to wash it down with? Haggis?
Well,
great.
So he's doing the Cockney accent, but it's New Zealand Kiwi. The thing is, like, there's parts where it lines up too close to the way Cockneys say words, and it's sort of he loses
some words
it.
He says are not the way Cockneys talk.
Or chips
and
fish and chips, but that's a bit South African. South African. So there's some great lines. I mean, I was genuinely chortling.
The writing's really good. The sort of back and forth between a lot of the main characters is good.
Yeah.
It's just a well written show, and obviously a lot of it's taken from the comic book. But I've heard it's not entirely the same.
No, I think they've moved things around. One guy's arm is on the other side of his body. It's they're trying to fit new things. But if you like horror, it's got all the gore and stuff, and it's genuinely kind of scary with some of the, and then it's more of a black comedy crime thing.
There are some great cameos as well, right? Billy Zane, Haley Joel Osment. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Who else? They're just some good.
That's it.
Good cameos. That's
top cameos there. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Impressive. I'm enjoying it, so I'm eager to finish it. I might finish it tonight if I get around to it.
Yeah, yeah. So, other than that, though, I didn't really watch too much. I watched Blade, which is the film we're talking about today.
Which is what?
Because
I've never heard of it, mate.
What inspired this?
What inspired this was the reveal that Mahershala Ali is going to be the new Blade in the MCU Blade, which was announced like a couple of weeks ago at the Comic Con.
He's what? Oh my god!
I kind of just I thought we should push on, and I've been really like delving deep into Wesley Snipes' behavior on not main. It wasn't on this one, I don't think. I think he really went apeshit on
Blade Trinity. Well, he didn't get it anymore,
Yeah, but I just felt really fascinated, and I've kind of just been thinking about it. Been thinking about it a lot. I was just like, that's mad. Like, just imagine like working on a film set and him behaving in the way he did. So obviously the key elements are he wanted to be referred to as Blade at all times on set. Apparently, he only referred to Ryan Reynolds as that cracker.
Wow.
There was a particular scene where he needed to open his eyes, and he refused, so they had to CGI open eyes onto his closed eyes. I mean, that's just mad.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if you're the director, Blade, for fuck's sake. Come on.
That's insane. I was reading in the trivia, there were times where he would come on set and he said, I don't feel like Blade's going to be talking much today. And they'd be like, oh, it's one of those days where he just isn't going to say. But they said, like, it didn't matter because his personality really, you know, sold the Blade character. Which you've got to say, Blade is a wicked cool character. Like, he plays him so perfectly. There's a couple of moments where he gets a little bit sort of cheesy. There's a bit when he goes,
oh, yeah,
what the fuck? But, like, there's a lot of, like, cool moments. A lot of cool moments.
There's cool moments. Stephen Dorff as Deacon Frost is like a great villain as well. This obviously is thought of to be the film that paved the way for Marvel to really take over the MCU. To take over like cinema and make the MCU. Because obviously before this, what did we have before this? Like a shitty Captain America film.
I remember liking this kid. Is this before X-Men and the Spider-Man films as well?
Yeah, so X-Men was 2000, Spider-Man was 2002.
Yeah.
I think Blade 2 even came before both of those.
Before Blade 1?
Blade 2 came before Blade.
Wow.
They started with Blade 2, and then they went for Blade 4, and then Blade 3, and then Blade 1. It was confusing for everybody.
Triple H to Blade.
Yeah.
There wasn't any sort of comic book movies that were sort of doing well. Marvel was almost in liquidation, so they were selling off their movie rights, which they've now mostly got back, I believe. The Fox of the X-Men stuff, Sony with Spider-Man. Wesley Snipes was hot off, he was doing really well in his career. Demolition Man, and I don't know if it's White Man Can't Jump, but there's something else that he was very good and big in. And then
he was massive with it, mate. He was at least 8 foot tall with it.
Yeah, well, they had to film him from the ground up to like make him look bigger. But so he was massive, and I read that he took a gamble on this film. Like, no one sort of believed that this was going to be a success because Marvel were just not the Marvel we know today.
But at the same time, this is for Marvel to take a punt on this.
Yeah,
it's not obviously it's a superhero film, but it's not like it's an action horror, you know. It fits, like, you wouldn't watch it if you didn't know who Blade was and the history of the character in comic books. You wouldn't necessarily watch this and go, is that a comic book character? I've got to find the comic books. You just think it was, you know, action horror vampire-y kung fu sword fighting thing.
Yeah you would So have you got some information about the film?
Yes, indeed. So Blade is a 1998 American superhero film directed by Stephen Norrington, written by David S. Goyer, based on the Marvel Comics character of the same name. A half vampire, half mortal man becomes a protector of the mortal race while slaying evil vampires. So Blade is a Dampir, who's a human with vampire strengths but not their weaknesses. So he's like...
A Dampir, half, is that what they call him?
Dampir, apparently, yeah. Dampir. Creatures a result of a union between a vampire and a human. So it's good you get the good parts of it. Because imagine you're just a human, but you were also had all the weakness.
Didn't like garlic.
Bloody ate it. I don't know what. This pasta got garlic in it. I'm melting, literally, physically melting.
Can't go in the daylight. I know some people like that. There's real life vampires out there.
Goffers.
Yeah. Okay, so, I mean, this film, IMDb, 7.1 out of 10. Apparently didn't do too well with the old reviewers. 54% on Rotten Tomatoes. The audience score is 78%, though. I mean, we kind of grew up with this. I mean, I was 10 when it came out. This and The Matrix were like... the action movies we put on all the time growing up. I loved this stuff growing up. It has dated a little bit. There's like a lot of drum and bass.
Yeah.
A lot of thumpy, thumpy sort of... that sort of thing.
Yeah. And but then I watched the Matrix trilogy recently, and there's like a rave scene in that.
Yeah.
And I feel like rave scenes are dead and buried. We don't need another rave scene in cinema, unless rave makes some sort of resurgence. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's doing absolutely fine in certain pockets of culture, but you know, we don't need another rave scene with UV and you know, people's bodies gyrating against each other. I think it's kind of dead and buried. But yeah, this film, some of the CGI is a bit wobbly.
Yeah.
Shiny. Some of the fight sequences are all right, but some of them get a bit. There was one bit where I was like, they're just doing the same move over and over again. It looked like I was watching a computer game, like someone was button mashing. Because at one point, even the final battle, I feel like is a bit disappointing.
Okay.
But
there's a bit of Mortal Kombat style special effects. You know, right at the end where the skeletons pop out of the skeletons.
Yeah, I was like,
that's like Mortal Kombat. There's also that thing that's kind of dated with the... they used to do it a lot where they like show a cityscape and you speed it up. There's like a sped up city, moving and cars flashing through and stuff. We don't really do that anymore.
Yeah. I mean, there's some great characters in this. Obviously, Wesley Snipes as Blade, Stephen Dorff as Deacon Frost, Chris Christopherson as Abraham Whistler, Blade's mentor.
Yeah. So here's the thing. You haven't mentioned Dr. Karen Jensen, played by N. Bush Wright. And I think that's because she is one of the dullest characters.
I think I've got to agree. She is kind of, bless her, she's kind of pointless. Like, it really does seem like she's just there. There are a couple of parts where she's involved, and I think that's a pretty cool scene or a pretty cool sequence. But her, unfortunately, I just didn't believe. Like, there's not really like a... Is there like a love story between Blade and her? Because it doesn't quite... No, not really. I feel like maybe if there was more of that, she might have been a bit more interesting. But she's kind of just there and turns up at all the same places as Blade, and then she serves a purpose, obviously, towards the end to basically give Blade power and energy to go into the final battle. But apart from that, she's a bit naff. There's some good Donald Logue as Quinn, like one of the minions of Frost, who like keeps losing limbs and stuff. Yeah. I mean, he's pretty awesome.
Udo Kier plays a vampire elder. I mean,
of course.
You can't really get better than Udo Kier as vampire.
He's been a vampire before, right? Surely he's been a vampire before.
Surely. I think he's been Dracula in something. He's just he looks like a vampire. I mean, there's no way around it. He just looks like a vampire.
Oh yeah, he played Count Dracula in Blood for Dracula in 1974.
Is that the Andy Warhol one?
I don't know, actually. Maybe. And I'm sure... Oh, wait, he played Captain Varna in Dracula 3000.
Dracula 3000.
He played someone in Shadow of the Vampire. So he's been in a lot of vampire things because he looks like a vampire.
Yeah.
Sorry, mate. I mean, I know he knows it.
He's made a career out of it. He's done fine.
But he does. There's something vampiric about him.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, there's a good sort of reveal with a certain character towards the end of this film as well, which I kind of forgot about.
I forgot about it already. I don't know what you're talking about.
A certain relative of Blade's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about that, mate. Spoilers for Blade, the 1998 movie throughout.
Yeah. So, the plot. What we got? We start off with sort of flashback. Intro, prologue scene, woman getting bit by a vampire. Also, that reveal that you mentioned, which we're sort of talking about now, kind of throws up some crazy questions about who is he his dad? It's strange.
It throws up a crazy question, but also it throws up a crazy question as what can you remember as a newborn baby? Because Blade keeps having flashbacks to when his mum died as he was being born.
From the eyes of a doctor.
From the eyes of a doctor, you don't remember that? You don't remember anything? You'd be like, well, what happened to me?
I remember nobody through the eyes of my doctor pulling me out.
It was like, we got a head here. It's just perfectly spherical.
Oh, it's my head.
That's my head. Look at that.
Yeah.
So yeah, so there's a pregnant woman. She's been attacked by a vampire. She's going into labor. Doctors are able to save the baby, little baby Blade. But the doctors
Beyblade.
Apparently, Beyblade, little Beyblade, they spin him on a table. They spin him on a table. They pull it.
Yeah. They did that. And they, that's where the name, where he got the name Beyblade, and then they dropped the Bey.
Yeah.
At some point. Yeah.
Bey after a while. It was lame. So then a woman, so then the mother apparently dies of an unknown infection. Although I thought maybe she died of the fact that she'd been attacked by a vampire.
Yeah.
Bleeding from the neck. It's 30 years later. And Blade, on his 30th birthday. Well, I don't know.
That makes sense, yeah. Hey, what? Yeah. So Blade's the same, younger than me. In this film, Blade plays a character younger than me. That can't be right.
There we go. All right. Here's something for you. I found out this on the same vein of
age.
Conversation. Veinage. Monica Lewinsky. Remember when she had that thing with old Bill Clinton?
Yeah.
When you know, she nosed him off, whatever. How old do you think she was when that happened?
Well, I was probably 28-ish or something, I guess.
22!
That's young. That's young. Young. Her life got like rude when she was 22.
Yeah.
Although she seems to be doing it right now.
Does she?
She's like,
chat to her lately?
She tweets like jokes about it, doesn't she?
Oh, all right. Yeah. Well, apparently they're making the next American crime story series is going to be about that.
About that? Well, last time they had O.J. Simpson killings, and this time it's...
O.J. Simpson, then it was for the murder of Versace.
Now it's Finger getting noshed off.
It's Bill Clinton getting noshed off under the table in the Oval Office. We're going to see some prosthetic penises, I hope.
Yeah,
so basically there's a guy driving a car with a woman in the passenger seat, and she's like, "Woo!" And he's like, "Where are we going, man?" And didn't she grab his knob at some point and say something? Like,
yeah. She's like, she's reaching for a handbrake, and she reaches too far.
she grabs his knob and goes, "What's this here? You got a maggot in your lap."
A maggot in your lap.
You go fishing, and he goes, "What?"
Yeah.
So yeah, she takes him to like a secret Detroit rave club, which is just like in the middle of a
like a meat packing factory. But then as they're walking through, they wheel past bodies, like human bodies, and he's "What's that?" And she goes, kisses him.
Is that a dead body? Oh, I've forgotten what I was thinking there. You give me a lovely kiss.
I'd like to see Jason Voorhees use that tactic to put people off of his trail. Just give him a quick smooch.
So this guy is dressed like, so he basically looks like white Samuel Jackson. He's got like one of his Kangol caps on backwards.
Yeah.
You know the one I mean? He's got like a nice looking shirt, and he sort of goes into the rave where everyone's enjoying themselves. The woman automatically goes to like another woman and
starts dancing with a woman.
Top off, yeah. And he's a bit like, "Oh my god, what's going on?" He automatically realizes, you know, this is not a nice place to be, because I think Deacon Frost walks past him at one point and gives him the eyeball. Everyone's kind of looking at him like he's like he's food.
Yeah.
And then suddenly there's a sprinkler system comes on, and you know what it is, don't you?
Drugs.
It's blood. drugs kind of speak.
Ecstasy.
It's blood. And I kept thinking, is that human blood or is that animal blood or what is it?
Well, it's a big waste. I mean,
it's just a massive waste.
I mean, if this is like human blood, let's say. And I mean, if it was like meat, imagine all that money's worth of meat slapping out of on the floor, going to waste. No one's going to lick it off the floor. If it all gets down in the armpits and stuff, that's, you're not going to drink that.
We don't know how thorough vampires are. You know, they might want to stay there all night, literally sucking every bloody orifice off.
Yeah.
So then that happens, and the guy looks like he's going to get murked. Some of the vampires start attacking him, and suddenly, Big Bad Blade turns up. I also think, is this a good, like, if you're a blade,
yeah, if you're
would you
blade.
Go into a rave full of vampires? Like, immediately, you,
he's
like,
confident. He's confident.
The odds are against you. You're immediately circled, you know, and Blade just starts fucking him up. He's got various different methods of fucking him up. He's got silver.
He starts off with a shotgun. A classic.
Starts off with a shotgun. Yeah. He's got Uzis. He's got his hands, got kung fu. Obviously, sunglasses are always on at whatever point.
Yeah.
If anyone knocks them off, that'd be it.
Wesley Snipes has got, I think he must have been doing martial arts for a fair bit of his life, because when he is like, it looks like he's putting some power behind his kicks and stuff. He obviously knows what he's doing.
I can imagine, if Wesley Snipes acted the way he did, as we know, on the set of Blade,
yeah.
I bet he was just kicking people for real.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah! And they go, oh, fuck! And he goes, if you can't deal with it, mate, get out.
And Blade, yeah, what do you expect?
And Blade. So, yeah, he basically saves the guy who's going to be killed. And then right at the end of this particular massacre of vampires, Quinn, who is like Deacon Frost's right-hand man, he kind of like pins him to the wall with two stakes and then lights him on fire.
Yeah. I don't know why he doesn't just kill him. But
maybe he thought he was killing him by lighting him on fire, because that's what I'd think. If I lit someone on fire, vampire or not, I'd think dead.
Well, the fact that he doesn't just kill him ends up killing one man for definite, because when he goes to the morgue and Quinn wakes up and he drinks the blood of the morgue-tician.
The morgue-tician.
and he attacks the other one as well, the woman.
Yeah, so he attacks young lady. So hematologist Karen Jensen. So basically he's all burnt to a crisp and weird looking, and he's all like creepy.
Yeah.
I was quite scared of this guy, I think, back in the day. When I used to watch this on DVD, I used to think, ooh, he's gruesome.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
So he like bites Karen Jensen, but then Blade turns up.
This is what I mean. So why did Blade just kill him?
Seems like Blade does a lot of this where he just like he does something and then comes back to cut off the loose ends. But then I'm like, why is there a loose end in the first place?
It a bit like, what's that film? Is it I Killed the Devil or something? Where it's like,
Saw the Devil.
He like gets the murderer at the start, but then lets him go because he wants to keep chasing him.
Yeah. He loves the chase.
It's like a tabby cat playing with his food.
That's what I was going to say. So yeah, basically he escapes with Karen Jensen, takes her to a safe house. When he's leaving, like the police are like, they don't give a fuck about her well-being. They're literally firing machine guns at Blade and Karen.
Yeah.
So basically Karen! Blade takes her to a safe house where Abraham Whistler is playing live music and walking with a limp.
Yeah, limp with a capital P, that was. You didn't hear that.
It's Chris Christopherson.
Country musician. Actor.
He's still alive?
Yeah, he's great.
He definitely comes back at some point in the Blade series, right?
In all of them, I think. I think maybe Trinity is not in, but I've already seen that one some time ago.
How does he come back?
Well, I remember being a bit miffed that he does come back at all. Because in this film, when it looks like he dies, apparently he didn't actually shoot himself. He did something else, and then it doesn't. It's one of those things where like there's retconning it.
It's like in the film it worked, but then you know in the grand scheme of things, like he should probably come back. Killed himself off screen.
Yeah,
that's a bit ridiculous, isn't it?
So so then I think Karen Jensen's whole main point of being here is to be the audience. So Chris Christopherson Whistler could be like, I found Blade when he was a little kid. Like, you know, it could be like, we could tell us all about Blade. And
all the exposition like.
We are Karen. We're all Karen in this film.
Boring as fuck.
Yeah.
Sorry, Karen.
She's like meant to be like the every woman, sort of the standard person in the mix of craziness. And then he's like, I'll give you some garlic in the neck. That should cure your bite wounds. Maybe will, maybe won't turn, but we'll see.
I think he gives her a 50-50 chance of becoming a vampire.
Yeah, I think it's a 50-50.
50-50 chance.
Yeah.
So he basically explains that him and Blade have been waging a war against the vampires.
Yeah.
You know, sunlight, silver, all that nonsense. But then he says that Karen's been marked by this bite of the vampire. now. Yeah. So, yeah. Like, you got basically, you should just fuck off because, you know, you're going to get mugged off.
Yeah. So, I think as Blade drops her off, he says, at this point, Blade's been pretty cool for a while, but he's not, like, said anything super cool. But then he says something like, there are worse things than vampires out there. And she goes, like, what? And he goes, me. But he did it in that sort of very cool, only someone as confident as Wesley Snipes could pull up that line quite like that.
There are worse things out there than vampires. Me after four beers.
I would like to see Wesley Snipes play Blade, but in the same way he plays the character in White Men Can't Jump. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like really over the top.
That would be good. So now we get like a meeting of the vampire elders where Frost, who apparently isn't like a pureblood, like he was turned, and that's why the vampire elders treat him like he's a dirty rotten muggle.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got some like weird plan to like incite a war between vampires and humans. But obviously they're like, you're a knob,
mate. Just admit it. But yeah, he's got like he's looking through these old secret vampire texts, and then Udo Kier, maybe this is a bit later on, but it'll explain the backstory. Udo Kier is like,
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I've been able to decipher that for thousands and thousands of years. And Deacon Frost is like, but I've got a computer. And he's like running his computer through it, so it's blipping through the program.
It's basically just like Generation Boomers getting owned by millennials. This film, right? Exactly, even though millennials didn't exist in 1998. But they're basically going, hey, what you doing? No one's got time to read all of the history of the world. And he goes, well, I got the internet here, and I just scroll through it all on Wikipedia. So
this is pretty harsh. So he, obviously, Udo Kier isn't like this guy. So he, also, it really is like the vampire elder. Like he must have security up to the nines.
I think one thing I noticed about this film is that the vampire elders are portrayed as a bunch of absolute wimps. You think if there are vampire elders that are pure blood vampires in this, they should be absolutely, brutal. They should be
Dracula level.
They should be able to hold their own, but they're kind of treated as just like fodder for this villain to kind of to elevate this villain who isn't even a pure blood vampire to elevate him as being like a major threat to Blade.
Yeah.
So it's a bit kind of lame, I guess. And also, what are we supposed to believe? That half-blood vampires can like protect themselves from the sun just with like a bike helmet?
No, well, it's like sun cream.
Sun cream stuff, yeah.
Sun cream. And then when it gets really, when the sun fully rises, they have to use...
I mean, that's like almost Twilight glittery vampire level shit, right?
Well, it's rewriting the vampire myth a little bit too...
A little bit too conveniently.
Too conveniently.
Stick a bit of sun cream on. Why are you putting so much sun cream on before you go out?
Factor 3000.
Factor 3000. You never know. Are you a vampire? Oh yes, you've had me there. I am a vampire.
Iron Vampire. So they take, what's his name? They take his teeth out on the beach. They say, have you ever seen sunrise? And he says, no. And he says, well,
I've never seen it because I was born a vampire.
Yeah, oh, you keep going on about it. Yeah. Yeah.
I've never seen it. I've only ever seen a picture of the sunrise. And even then, I was made me feel sick to the stomach.
Yeah, well, this one blows him up. I remember the special effects are actually kind of...
So this doesn't look like CGI. This looks like
face
stop
like
motion-y.
Collapses and like it looks crazy. Yeah. You remember Evil Dead? Remember when they're like decomposing at the end of Evil Dead?
Yeah, it kind of like fall, it's all his flesh falls away, sort of like Raiders of the Lost Ark style,
yeah.
And then he explodes. And it reminded me of a little bit of 30 Days of Night. Remember when Josh Harnett's character watches the sun rise and he kind of just turns into a black, crispy man. Yeah. I mean, it was good. So one of the vampire elders is dead. We're taking Deacon Frost and his crew. We're taking it seriously now.
Well, so the rest of the vampire elders, Deacon Frost is like, I'm in charge now. And everyone else is like... And then
everyone else goes, oh, I'm a pure blood vampire and I'm just going to listen to you, am I? Oh, what a wimp.
Yeah. Okay, so Karen Blade drops her off back at her house and says, don't worry about stuff. There's quite a cool bit where she's in the lift and she thinks some people are following her, but they're not. They just happen to have the vampire tattoos on the backs of their heads, but they're not following her.
Yeah, they're not following her, and they happen to be like really, they act in really strange. Spooky. And she turns around at one point and they go,
he says something to her, doesn't he?
Like, what's your problem, bitch? So I don't know if it's that.
No, I think it was like a nice thing. I think it was like, what are you...
Don't be scared. We're just some creepy guys waiting for you.
I think that's it. I think that's it. Anyway.
She gets in and she gets attacked by a police officer, right?
Krieger.
Hey, Krieger.
Yeah. I think it's the same guy who plays... Mike, the policeman who Phoebe goes out with in Friends. It's not, but it'd be that guy in it.
That'd be a weird crossover, wouldn't it? Yeah. Shared universe, Blade and Friends, shared universe.
Stars. Yeah. So he's
not a vampire, is he? He's a familiar.
He wants to be a vampire. He's very familiar with vampires.
Yeah. So he's like obviously a human slave, basically.
If you like, when people say, "Have you ever heard of vampires?" He'd be like, well, I'm familiar.
I'm familiar with them. And he'd know, but no one else would know. And they go, they're bloody scary, aren't they?
Familiar, yeah.
You could say, I'm familiar with them. And then Blade turns up. He's done the old, let her go, I'm user as bait, you know, a bit stupid, to basically lure this familiar to him. Because this familiar is trying to kill her to obviously impress his vampire buddy, who is Deacon Frost.
Blade pops him in the face a few times. Casually, but... quite bloodily. Like he just pops him in the face really hard. Yeah.
Doesn't he follow him? He like loses him at one point and then manages to catch up to him again in the club.
So I think Karen does something that makes him sort of able to get away. And then he's like, Karen, you better wake up, you bitch. Because...
Karen, you're ruining this whole movie for me.
Well, I think the whole point, he's saying, like, there's a whole world of stuff going off that you don't even know about. You need to wake up. You need to wake up and smell the coffee, darling.
She goes, well, sorry.
Exactly.
Yeah. I've just been here living my life, and you're the one, half man, half vampire, going around with a samurai sword. Fucking hell.
So,
he has got a samurai sword as well, which, if you grab it and you're not Blade, it does a little... and then some little spike come out.
There's a bit that flips people off like that. A guy picks it up, a vampire picks it up, and Blade gets a little cheeky glint in his eye like a jackass person waiting for a prank to go off. Yeah, that's it. That's the face. Yeah, and then Blade's caught it all on video camera and he's uploaded it.
I've got it on video. Were you filming, Whistler? No? Oh.
You've been framed, £250 down the pan. So, but Blade catches up with Krieger super quick in the car. I think they use fast forward effects on the car to make it go faster. And then he goes to the club, doesn't he? Where it's like a weird Asian vampire club.
So there's like K-pop girls performing on stage, loads of old like Japanese dudes watching and enjoying. And basically he follows Krieger, and what does he do? He
beats the living shit out of Krieger more. And then he's like, where's the, I don't know what he says, like, where are you going or something? And he says,
where is she?
And then so he says, in the fridge. And then he continues to beat him up, and he goes, no, I'm serious, in the fridge. So he opens the fridge, goes downstairs, and I think this is where we meet Pearl, right?
I think that's a... What does he go downstairs to? He goes downstairs, and there's like the vampire text in these sort of like glass cabinets, right?
The Book of Erebus.
Yeah, and then Deacon Frost turns up with his crew and obviously captures Blade. And they start fucking him up a little bit.
Oh, but yeah, but in Whistler.
That's when one of them goes to use the sword and gets his hand off.
Yeah.
And then Whistler turns up and saves him, which is nice of him.
Okay, so, and then they get away. I think they go back to the safe house. I don't even know what.
Yeah, so there's some stuff here where we sort of find out that Blade's using this serum, which is trying to succumb his desire to drink blood, and Karen, with her hematologist skills, is kind of doing some experiments to try and work out some sort of vaccine for him to be infected. But then learns that like it won't work. But she's like, "I'm confident that I can cure your blood thirst forever."
She does the opposite. She goes, "Whoops! I was trying to make a cure, but I've made a thing that explodes blood."
Oh no! I've made it even worse. So at some point while Blade's out, you know, getting a kebab or something, Deep Frost and his men attack the hideout. I'm not sure how they find this hideout. Do you remember?
I don't think they say, but he sniffs it out. Deacon Frost has got a cracking nostril. And
just one. He's like, yeah, he's got one good nostril, one useless, pathetic, worthless nostril. It shouldn't even be on his face.
Yeah, just got one nostril and one yestril. The nostril is it. It's the closed one, obviously. They take Karen with ease because she's a hematologist. What's she going to do? But with Whistler, I mean, they shoot his leg there. They don't kill him. We don't see what they just sort of rough him up. I think
they leave him in a bad way, and he's like, when Blade gets there, he's underneath a sheet covered in blood. He's underneath a singular Andrex
Phoenix
tissue, it's just over his face. And Blade goes, "Where's Whistler?" And then when he sees the tissue, takes off. He goes, "There you are." So Whistler's basically pretty much dead, apparently, for whatever reason. Although we know that he's not because of Blade 2. But he basically says, "Give me your gun," and he gives him the biggest, most ridiculous handgun you've ever seen. It's
within
like
a fifth of a second. He goes, "Hand me the gun." He goes, shoves it in his face, like in his mouth.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And then basically, as Blade walks away, we hear the boom of Whistler supposedly committing suicide.
We don't realize that he just made that noise with his mouth. That's what I find out later.
So this time it's personal, you know?
Yeah.
So,
So Blade does all the stocking up. He makes, get montage. I mean, it does sort of, this film does sort of, you know, go into those action movie cliches. But I kind of like that it does all this stuff. It's got him arming himself up. He needs to go rescue her now. He's got a mission. He's making bullets. That's a cliche thing of like action movies. He's making the bullets.
Seeing that he's prepped. You know,
I think he does a little meditation next to his sword, and then he kills his plant for some reason. I don't remember why he does that. Just severs the roots.
He's hard, isn't it?
It's like burning your boats.
I think we did miss the bit where Blade and Karen met the fat one. What's the fat one called?
Pearl.
I
can't imagine he is in that basement behind the.
Yeah, I think he's in that basement. So they torture him. He's a massive, you know. Large, terrifying, horrible voiced beast, and they torture him quite harshly with this UV torch. Really, they ask him something, and they switch it on for a long time. I was like, whoa,
yeah.
Like no one plays a good cop bad cop routine in this. They just torture the fuck out of him, and they basically cook him till he's dead. But that was before. That was before all this nonsense happened. So now we're into the sort of final act of the film, right?
Yeah, it's Neo and Trinity going into the bank. It's that sort of scene.
Yep. Yeah, there we go. And that's a great scene, isn't it? So, yeah, basically Blade goes to Frost's penthouse. And when he gets there, we get the big reveal is that Blade's mum isn't dead. She exists. And she's only copping off with Deacon Frost, isn't she?
And she lives in his bed coffin.
She lives in his bloody coffin. Bed coffin. How'd you get one of them made?
Where'd you go to get that? One? I don't know.
Argos.
DVS, whatever that thing's called. DFS.
DVS. the V's for vampire.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what they're doing, yes, sir. The sleepy vampire. Okay, vampire sleepy. So the big reveal. Mommy, he goes, mommy. And then he collapses into the whimpering baby.
Think about it, he shouldn't recognize her because she died in childbirth, so he'd have absolutely no idea what his mum looked like.
Yeah, but he saw through it through the doctor's eyes.
But yeah, exactly. His memory, his flashback is through the doctor's eyes, which is mental. It doesn't make any sense.
Even if she was like, I'm your mum, he'd be like, No, you're not.
I don't believe you. You're a vampire. What the fuck? Yeah.
My mum died of a strange infection.
This would make more sense. Now, I know the story of Blade, his mum does die in childbirth, but this would make more sense if, like, I don't know, his mum died when he was like 10 or something, so he remembered what she looked like, or died when she was 10.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it does throw up a few questions. I guess I did think for a second, wait, is Deacon Frost her dad? But then Deacon Frost says that he's the vampire who originally attacked her.
Yeah, so he's the vampire dad. Like, he's the one who made Blade, in a way.
Well, yeah, he is.
Yeah.
There we go. I don't mean when I said a dad, I don't mean a real dad. I mean a vampire dad. Yeah. We got dads, stepdads, vampire dads.
Yeah. It's a new world. It's all sorts of dads. While Blade is sucking his thumb, and that, like, revisiting childhood trauma, he gets attacked with loads of cattle prods.
Yeah.
And they're like, sound like they're oiling him up.
And he goes, ah, call me Blade, and his eyes close, but they go, open your eyes, he goes, I ain't gonna do it
for the rest of the film.
Yeah. I ain't got eyes.
Blade hasn't got eyes today. So to catch him, they put him in they go to this temple. We don't know where this temple is, where it's come from, but it's a giant vampire temple.
We've seen what the final plan is numerous times in this film, because it keeps being shown on computers and discs and things. It's just like someone's done a 3D rendering of exactly what the final plan is, which is to get a circle of pure blood vampires.
Yeah.
Deacon Frost in the middle, and something comes down and goes around and somehow summons this blood god called Lamagra.
Yeah.
Sounds like a knob.
So they put Blade in this little contraption at the top of the room, and it cuts his wrists, which I still struggle to watch. I don't like blood coming out of wrists like that. It's not very nice. And then his blood goes down the walls, and then that's how the ritual starts. But at the same time, they put Karen in a hole with her ex-boyfriend, who's now a creepy, hungry vampire thing.
Creepy, evil, dead.
Yeah.
Dawn of the Dead. Not Dawn of the Dead, sorry.
Shaun of the Dead. Shaun of the Shed.
Ah. Oh, God. From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah.
He's like a From Dusk Till Dawn creepy, bloated, weird vampire. So her ex-boyfriend was killed, like, originally when Karen got bit in the hospital. And he's there, and she obviously beats the shit out of him with, like, a bone. Just like a big, sharp bone.
Big bone, yeah. And then she uses that to pull herself out. Yeah.
Which is good, isn't it?
So anyway, she gets Blade out of his contraption. At this point, the ritual has started, I think, and all the purebloods are exploding, and tiny winged skeletons are ripping out of their skeletons.
Yeah.
And sort of flying through Deacon Frost.
Yeah, they're sort of flying through Deacon Frost. It looks a bit PS2 cutscene at this point, doesn't it? It looks kind of silly. But, you know, It is what it is, and it's of its time. It's not.
Yeah. So this is the sort of the low point of the film. The villain's winning. Blade is like dying because he hasn't got any blood. So Karen says, "I'm a hematologist. I got loads of blood.
And I'm then, full of blood. Right? I'm like a water balloon full of blood. Yeah. Okay.
So
just suck on me.
Suck on me," she says. "Suck on this," and then she points to his neck. Points to her neck.
"Suck on this, you slag."
So he does, and he's like, his muscles like Popeye. They start off like strings, and they.
"I am Blade." Yeah. Mate, and so, I was about to say sunglasses come back, but you don't get them yet. He gets them.
No, Quinn's got sunglasses. So even to this day, I still get a bit of a, you know, like the action movie frill, whatever that sort of, I think, like God of War does this. Yeah, it's like I don't know. You just sort of, what's the word? They like a hero. Makes you feel that same sort of like, oh yeah, like the power sort of
thing. It is like that, yes. Fucking yes, have it! Exactly, and you turn to whoever's next to you, even if no one's next to you, you go, "Come here!"
Choke slam them, yeah.
Yeah.
So he jumps right down in the middle of this thing, does a superhero landing, and then he Quinn attacks him, and he sort of quite casually whips his head off, sunglasses fly in the air, catches him, puts them on his head, and it's cool.
And the fact that throughout the film, you know, Quinn has sort of been there constantly. He's lost various limbs because of Blade, and the fact that, you know, it looks like maybe Quinn's going to get a little bit of revenge here. Nope, dead. I mean, immediately. So he basically kills all of the minions.
He goes on a rampage. He's like ripping throats out. He kills people just by kicking them too hard in the chest. He's
at one point he just goes, "I'm Blade," and they all just.
Yeah. that definitely does happen. Yeah.
and then he goes up against his mum as well.
Oh yeah,
his mum turns up, tries to, you know, cut him down, and he just goes, "Right, you're not my mum anymore. You're a bloody stinking vampire."
Yeah. So kills her. I don't. So that takes in the logic of. The Buffy vampires, they use this thing where vampires aren't. It's almost like you're possessed by a demon soul now, and you are no longer the human that you were before. Mm-hmm. But that's the logic there. Like, you're not my mum anymore. You're now this vampire thing, this other thing. But that's obviously not true because he isn't. You know what I mean? He is the halfway point. So surely maybe he should be more Return of the Jedi, and he should be able to. But no, that's not the. You can't win.
It's weird that she's kind of evil, isn't it? Because unless we're led to think she's been kind of almost brainwashed by Deacon Frost all over the years.
Maybe, yeah.
And the Blade sort of sees vampires as like, you're ruled by your thirst. So you are a threat, essentially. Yeah. Not just to me, but to humankind. So you deserve to die just because of that.
So Blade's kicking all sorts of ass. Karen gets a bit of a thing. She shoots a shotgun at. She uses like a garlic spray on this woman's head. And
which works really well. You know, I thought garlic spray might like melt their face a bit, but it makes this blows female vampire head explode.
Well, they realize that they could do the head exploding special effects a little bit earlier on in the film when they first tried out those bomb things, those blue gel things. And then they were like, "That was awesome. Let's do it again." They started doing it for loads of things. And then right at the end, I mean, we'll get to it, but he gets in a big sword fight with Deacon Frost, who isn't Deacon Frost anymore.
No, he's basically the blood god. He obviously cuts off his hand and it kind of just comes back, cuts him in half at one point, and he gets sucked back together, which is when Blade does his iconic mouthing of the words, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, it looks pretty dumb. I mean,
it looks pretty dumb. But this sword fight, I don't know. Yeah. This sword fight was a bit like, they kind of just went clink 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 clink. Then one of them would duck, and the other one would swing, and then clink 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 clink, and the other one would duck. It felt like this bit really did feel like a boss battle in a PlayStation game where you're just like mashing the buttons. There wasn't much going on in this fight that kind of made me feel like Blade was ever on the back foot.
Well, I think this was a reshoot. This bit, I read that. Originally, they were going to have LaMagra as a CG big blood thing. So I don't think there even was a sword fight. But then I think when they filmed it, they were like, that doesn't work. And it looks crap.
Is there? I don't think there are any points during the film where we're made to think that Deacon Frost is good with a sword either, right?
Well, he picks a blade sword, and you know how to turn the timer off.
Yeah.
So probably cracking with swords.
If he had a sword and he did a bit of sword play himself throughout the film, it would have made him
just
as a threat.
If he just constantly had a sword and was like whipping around whilst he was talking to people.
I really fancy an apple. That's right.
Yes, I can.
Well, can't eat human food.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right. But I mean, it's the blood god, isn't it? I think at that point, that's cracking with swords. So
yeah, okay. But yeah, I don't know if you feel like this, but I never felt at any point that Blade was on the back foot. I never felt that there was a genuine threat to him. I knew he was just going to kick his ass, and then he beats him fairly easily.
Well, so he loses his sword. No, sorry. He realizes his sword isn't going to do anything. But then he looks. There's a bit where it zooms into his blue gels,
yeah,
which are lodged in the wall. He throws his sword up there and he manages to use that timer thing
quite
coolly
right.
To pop it open. And he catches them. And he's like shurikening the guy. I think he boot one into him to his head.
Yeah, he throws and kicks the last one, which hits him straight in the head.
Yeah.
And then obviously he turns into a big CGI mess of blood and blobs and all this shit.
Yeah.
Blood and blobs. And then explodes, but not a drop of blood goes on Blade. It explodes everywhere. But Blade's just like, well, I'm fresh and clean over here, mate.
So I don't know if the ending that I saw was different to the one I sort of remember her. I might be getting it mixed with Blade 2. I seem to remember her dying at the end of the film, Karen, but she doesn't. And maybe I'm thinking of the end of Blade 2.
Yeah. Yeah. So she basically the ending is she offers like to help Blade cure himself, but he's like, just create me a brand new serum that's not going to cure me because I don't want to just be normal dude. I still want to have me powers and shit.
Yeah.
So create me a new serum. And then there's like an epilogue part where Blade is in bloody Moscow. He's in Russia taking on Russian vampires.
So again, I read that this was proposed another scene when it was going to be Michael Morbius was going to be in the Morbius, the Spider-Man character, who's a sort of Morbius, the living vampire. So that would have been like a Marvel credits teaser.
Crossover.
Well before that became a thing.
That would have been great. Jared Leto is going to be Morbius, but I think that's going to be a Sony film, right? So it's going to be like from the same makers as Venom. So we might not even get a crossover again. Pull your finger out, Marvel.
I can't say I know that much about Michael Morbius. So
I remember a lot about Michael Morbius from the Spider-Man cartoon.
That's the only aspect of it. Also, I remember Blade being in the. That's where Aaron knew Blade as well from the cartoon.
Because he turned up, didn't he, trying to kill Morbius?
Yeah, and he also didn't have a sword, but like a baton with like electric. It's like an electric baton.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I don't think he could have swords really in it.
Can't have swords, mate.
No. And he had a bike that could go up walls.
Bicycle.
A tricycle. Yeah.
I have fucking calves. Calves are steel.
Little BMX. Right, okay, so that's how it ends. Trivia. You ready?
Yes.
Well, with some like, actual trivia this time, I figured I can't do the name game with Blade. Suede.
No. Suede.
Played.
Played. Smade. Yeah, go on.
Okay, number one. What year was the character of Blade first introduced to the world? What year was the character introduced to the world?
To the world, what, in comics?
That would have been the first place, yeah.
I don't know, maybe like the early 70s? 71?
Oh, okay. It was first introduced in the comic book The Tomb of Dracula, issue 10, July
1973. Oh, something about it, I was like, I don't think it's going to be the 60s, mate. Something about that, I don't think it's going to be the 60s.
Yeah, well, you're right.
73.
Number two, what was Blade's original superpower? So he wasn't quite what he is now, but he had a superpower. What was his original superpower?
Did he have blades that came out of his eyes?
Yes.
I don't know. Is it something pretty standard? Or Is it something pretty
out? It's kind of lame, I guess, really, in the scheme of things.
Could he like see in the dark really well?
No. That'd be a cool power if he just ate carrots all the time. So his original power was he was immune to vampire bites. So like that was he wasn't a half vampire, I don't think, at that point. He was just immune to it, yeah. And most of the bug bites. So number three, when IGN put together the list of top 100 comic book characters, where did they rank Blade? Or if they even did?
Let's say, like, 35.
Whew, that's going in high. They ranked him at 63rd. Oh. And they were saying he's the most successful of the horror comic book characters.
Wesley Snipes be fuming.
Yeah. Number four, okay. What is Blade's real name? Is it Scott Wald Teeth and Sharp, Mr. Big Tats, Teeter Tatter, Derek Brooks, Eric Brooks, Alton Towers 2, the guy who stabbed me, or Blade?
Alton Towers 2, the guy who stabbed me. Are you all right?
I doubt you can even read, like, name any of the names I said back to you.
I'm not sure what you said. I know his name's Eric. So did you say Eric at the time? Eric Brooks, right?
Yeah, that's it. You knew it straight away.
Knew that,
you
mate.
Didn't like.
Oh, I knew that. Because there was a moment where I was thinking about that during the film where I thought, this is just a man called Eric going apeshit. Have you seen Eric? What he's doing? His name's Blade.
Okay.
No, Eric. It's Eric from school. Eric from school's over there.
We've got a family friend. I don't know his real name, but he calls himself Blade. We've always just known him as Blade, but he's just a guy who works at the fire station. Blade.
Wait a minute. Tell me more about this. What, Blade is named after this character?
Who knows? I don't know his real name. On Facebook, he's called himself Blade. But like, I went
Blade,
on a family
Blade
holiday.
What?
I don't know. His surname. I don't know what his surname. But we went on a family holiday, and they're like, there's Uncle Anthony, his mate, Dave. Oh, and this is Blade. And it was like Blade had like a little cocktail with like a Manchester United t-shirt and a little cocktail with the umbrella in.
Is it like a joke that his name is Blade, or is it like...
Maybe it started off that way. I don't know. But he's just called Blade. That's all
he had a Man United shirt, a cocktail umbrella, and a massive knife.
A little Stanley knife, yeah.
I kind of want to meet him. I don't know how I feel. Do you know when people like... I'm sure someone else gave him the nickname. But you know when people give themselves nicknames and like enforce them? Like... Oh yeah, everyone calls me that. Oh yeah, yeah. And on Facebook, like it's that, but like in the middle of their name. Yeah, got no time.
Yeah, I think that's how it started. I don't know. Okay, number five. Here's five vampire movies. Which of them is real? Vampireia, now with more prawns. Blackula. What's Up, Blood? Two in the Pink. Draculate for the Bus. Yeah. Draculate for the Bus Again. It's a sequel.
Again? It's Blackula.
Blackula.
That's the racky answer.
Just keep saying it. Yeah, you're right, yeah. I haven't seen it.
That was also the working title for this film. But, Wesley Snipes was dead against it. He was like...
He wanted to be a Blackula panther. No,
I don't want to open my eyes once during that film.
So before Blade, he was trying to get a Black Panther film on the go, and he was doing it for years.
Is this legit?
This is legit. So he was trying to get a Black Panther film on the go, and he couldn't get it going. And then when that sort of fell through, I think for the final time, that's when they went, let's do Blade. And then he said he took a lot of the stuff over to the Blade character. But whatever you call that sort of characteristic where he's obviously thinks quite highly of himself, major ego issues. So I think
he's kind of mellowed out a bit now.
Wesley Snipes,
because he was in What We Do in the Shadows.
I've not seen the
series yet. So he basically there's a big sort of vampire meeting and he appears via Skype.
Okay, yeah.
But like he's having like Skype problems like constantly. Yeah. So I think I'd hope from seeing that he doesn't take himself as seriously now. He always wears like a fedora on his head, so I'm pretty sure he doesn't take himself seriously anymore.
Yeah. Okay, man. So you need to review the film. I think I know what you're going to give it.
Forgot about that. Oh, you can't read my mind, mate. Go on, guess what I'm going to give it.
A B for Blade.
Yeah, let's give it a B for Blade. Yeah, I was probably thinking around about B. B minus, B, maybe a B. A B, and then I think Blade 2 is a B plus, but this is a B, and I think slightly better Blade 2, don't you think?
Yeah, I think the Guillermo del Toro element with like the crazy vampires, the chin splitting, and it's got more of the sort of this one is kind of missing the thing with the elders. There isn't really that much like regal stuff happening there. There isn't too much of a history there. Whereas the master vampire and all that kind of stuff is really, there's a lot of that in the Blade 2.
Yeah,
it's
good.
And Ron Perlman's in it. Oh, so I was going to give it a B for Bobon. It's kind of a perfect action horror film, right? Like, I mean, it does everything you need for like an action horror film. It's great. And not many people get it right. There's a lot of shit action horror films.
Yeah, definitely. When you how this compares to the, I don't know, the Underworld franchise.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this, you know what I mean? This is banging.
Yeah, B for Bobon, B for Blade, B for banging. It's all the B's you can ask for. It's the best Wesley Snipes movie behind White Men Can't Jump and Demolition Man.
Demolition Man in one word.
Yeah.
Demolition Man.
He's great in that, though. He's fantastic in Demolition Man.
100%.
So next week, we shall... I'd like to hear what you think about the rest of the boys, about the little ending.
Yeah, so I will have finished it by then, so we can discuss in some detail.
Okay, man. So next week, what are we doing again? We're doing...
Let's do Event Horizon.
Event Horizon, okay.
Cool. Yeah, is that all right with you? Is that all right with you, mate?
It is, yeah. Cool. All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Cowbatch Cameron.
That's all right. Well, I did listen.
Thanks to Cowbatch Cameron for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. If you enjoyed the show, please consider giving us a rating review on iTunes. And remember to hit subscribe. Thanks to the Facebook group. Come join us at facebook.com/groups/horror hangout board of advisors, or just search for Horror Hangout.
Just search Horror Hangout. You should be able to find it, man. If you can't find it, then you don't deserve to be in a group.
Yeah. You must be like a vampire elder or someone who doesn't know how to use technology. You square.
Yeah, you square. Why don't you go and watch a sunrise or something?
Yeah. What do you call them? Luddite. You're Luddite. So,
yeah. Bloody Luddite.
Thanks, man. Thanks to my co-host Ben for being a right horror dude.
Thank you very much, Luke, for also being a right horror dude.
Cool. All right. Finish up by pressing the stop button. Why not?